Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
As we think in regard to the judgment of God, good people, we learn concerning historians such as Josephus and Tacitus that these men testify concerning the fact that Jesus Christ lived and walked upon the face of the earth. And I enjoy reading what it is that these historians and others have said about Jesus Christ and how that these things do indeed serve as testimony to the fact that He is real and that He did indeed live here on this earth. But you know, the Bible provides specific detail to the facts about the life of Christ. Also concerning the doctrine of Christ and the kingdom, the church that Jesus Christ died for and established in His death. It also provides specific detail about His death, burial, and resurrection. And as Christians, as we consider what it is that the Bible says regarding the life of Christ, by all means we are excited to know concerning who Jesus was while He was here. Also, though, as we consider the Bible, we understand that the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is coming again. In fact, very explicitly, our God defines throughout the New Testament Scripture not only that Jesus came to this world, lived an exemplary life, and died for the sins of mankind, but God's Word exclaims for us that Jesus Christ is coming again, and in His coming, God will initiate His judgment upon the souls of mankind. Some people in life live in denial to Christ and that He is coming again, and in denial to the judgment. Others live in fear concerning Christ and the judgment of God. But as Christians, you and I live with anticipation and great joy, knowing that whenever Christ comes, we will have our eternal reward. Good people, when we think in regard to Jesus Christ and His coming, we understand according to the New Testament Scripture that whenever Jesus Christ comes, He will come very suddenly. In all of that, we understand, as is taught by Jesus Christ Himself in the book of Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44, that there will be no warning signs to identify when He is coming. Also, we understand from the context here, as Jesus spoke, is that there will not be any last minute opportunity for people to prepare. Well, what is it that God is wanting mankind to understand? That Jesus Christ will indeed come as a thief in the night. There will not be any indication as to when He is coming, other than whenever we read and study from the Bible, the warnings that God gives us that indeed He is coming, or whenever one stands before us as what we are today to proclaim, to preach and to teach that Jesus Christ is coming again. And as a result of that then, God also identifies unto us that whenever Jesus comes, in His arrival, it will indeed be audible. The Bible says that He will come with a shout. And in His coming, that the trump of God will sound. Well, what is it that God is trying to identify unto us? Is that everyone universally will be able to hear. Everyone will know that Jesus Christ is here whenever He comes in this manner as is defined in the Scripture. The Bible says concerning this is that everyone will be able to see Him. His coming will be visible. People, not only here in McMinnville, Tennessee, but people throughout the United States, people throughout the entire world will know that Jesus Christ is here. The Bible says that He will come in a cloud and that we will meet Him in the air. Whenever Jesus Christ comes, God wants man to know that universally, every soul will understand that He is here to take us to stand before the Almighty God in the final judgment. In His appearing, the Bible reveals unto us that souls will be displayed. Those who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. But the Bible tells us that one does not have to be living in order to meet Jesus Christ in that great and glorious day. The Bible tells us that there will be a great and glorious resurrection. All who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good into the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, those who have lived their lives contrary to the will of God into the resurrection of condemnation. In that day, the Bible identifies for us that the kingdom of God will be delivered back up unto the Father. The kingdom and the church are synonymous.
They're one and the same. Whenever Jesus Christ came to this world, good people, He came not only to die for the sins of mankind, but Jesus came to establish His kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, the church. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, Jesus promised in the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it. Whenever people are baptized into Christ, not only do they receive the forgiveness of sin, but the Bible very clearly identifies unto us that whenever people are baptized and receive the forgiveness of sin is that they are added unto the Lord's church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Our God wants mankind to understand concerning the significance of the church, not the multiplicity of churches that are in the religious world, but of the church, the Lord's church, that Jesus Christ promised He would build and that He did establish there at Pentecost, as what we read of in the book of Acts chapter 2. Good people, concerning that kingdom, those who have been baptized and added unto that church, the Bible very clearly tells us that in the day of the Lord, whenever Jesus Christ comes again in His appearance, that He will lay down all rule, power, and authority, and He will deliver up the kingdom or the church, the saved, unto our God, our Heavenly Father. Whenever Jesus Christ comes too, the Bible very clearly tells us that He is not going to reformulate this earth, but rather that the universe itself is going to be obliterated. What does that mean? Good people, it means exactly what it says. It means that this earth is going to melt in fervent heat or fervent fire. It's no longer going to be here. Why? Because it will not be necessary. The earth was created for man to inhabit during the time in which we live here. There is a new heaven and a new earth that is prepared for mankind. Jesus promised that He would establish a place for man to dwell eternally. And those who are saved will dwell in heaven in the presence of God. And those who are lost, they will also dwell eternally in hell, separated from our God. The judgment of God will indeed begin whenever Jesus Christ appears. In fact, we understand concerning life upon the face of this earth is that it is an appointment that mankind must keep. But also, good people, from the context of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, you and I can properly deduce is that the judgment is an appointment by God, that each and every one of us will stand before Him in judgment. In judgment, the Bible identifies that every soul will stand accountable. Well, what is it that they will stand accountable for? Good people, you and I will stand accountable for our life, the life that we have lived here, whether or not God has been our pursuit in life, and what will determine if God has been our pursuit in life or if something else has captured our attention, whether or not we have studied the Bible, whether or not we have spent time investing ourselves in knowing God, but not only in studying the Bible, in obeying the things that God commands of us throughout the course of our life here. And when we stand before God in judgment, you and I will give an account of our life. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And in that day, the Bible identifies unto us that every deed of our life, you and I will remember. Somebody says, Kevin, how in the world is it possible for me to remember every detail of my life? I do well to remember the things that I did a week ago. Good people, in that day, you and I will have absolutely no problem remembering our lives. Why? Because God, our God, will reveal these things before us. God worked through the Holy Spirit in the first century to convey His message unto humanity. The things, the 3 years that Jesus has spent with these men, and can you imagine them being able to remember these things upon their own accord? They were not able to, and God worked through the Holy Spirit to reveal these things, and in the day of judgment, God will work to reveal our lives. And the thing of it is that you and I will be accountable to God. We will remember the things that we have done opposed to Him, as well as the good deeds that we have performed in our life. And for that reason, you and I need to do all that we can to make certain that those evil deeds, the things that are contrary to the will of God, are covered in the blood of Christ. And therefore, the things that we are accountable for, the things that we have brought to our remembrance, are the things that are good, the things that we did as Christians.
The Bible tells us that in the day of judgment, every aspect of our life will be revealed. Even the things that maybe we've been able to keep private. Even the things that are dark secrets that are contrary to the will of God. These things will be revealed in the day that we stand before God. Why? Because even though that man has been able to conceal them before other mankind, before their family and friends, or before the world in which we reside in, man is not able to hide anything from God. God is all-seeing and God is all-knowing. All things are naked or revealed into His sight. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. In that great and glorious day, we can trust that our God and His judgment will be just. Why will God's judgment upon people be just? Good people, because God has given mankind the standard, the Bible. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or thoroughly equipped into every good work. Paul told Timothy earlier on in verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says that the Holy Scripture is able to make one wise unto salvation. And in the context, he's speaking in reference to the Old Testament, how that the prophets of old had spoken concerning the Messiah that would come into the world, and now God is revealed unto us through the New Testament Scripture the fullness of His will. And God wants mankind to understand that not only is His Bible the Word of God inspired, that it is His communicated message to mankind, but that the Bible serves as the standard that man must understand in life and that man must comply with in life. Why? Because the Bible will be the standard in the day of judgment. And if mankind has failed to understand the Bible, it's not God's fault, good people. It is man's fault. God is just in judgment to reward those who have lived faithful. Why? Because He's given us a standard. And those who comply, they've done so out of love. And God will justly give them their reward, but those who have rejected Him, God will be just in sentencing them to an eternal hell. But also, we need to understand that not only has God given us His standard, God has given us the material universe as evidence to the fact that He is here. In fact, in the book of Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, the Bible very clearly expresses that God has not left Himself without witness and that He did good. Good people, not only do we understand that God did good, God does good every day in this world that testifies to the fact that He is. And if mankind fails to look to the evidence that this world, the earth itself, and the universe as a whole provides concerning the existence of God, it's their fault whenever they stand before Him in judgment. But also we understand from the Scriptures that God has given us a way to be forgiven of our sins. You and I sin against God. And based out of that sin, we are separated from God. And the Bible identifies for us is that there's nothing we can do of our own accord, that is anything that you and I will ever come up with that will merit, that will earn our salvation. We are dependent upon God. And God spells out His plan of redemption throughout the New Testament Scripture. And because God has so specifically laid it out, and good people, not only will I say that He's laid it out in a very clear fashion, God has also made it very simple as regard to what mankind must do. Every soul that has or is or that ever will live upon the face of the earth can comply with the standards, can comply or obey the plan that God has laid out. And if man does not obey that, and they're lost, God will be just in sentencing them to an eternal hell. But also we understand is that God has given mankind ample opportunity to obey Him. We learn from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23 that the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven by somewhere between 58 and 62 A.D. They did not have the ability or the technology that we have today, the means to proclaim the gospel And the day the gospel has been taken everywhere, even, I think, in a better way. That is, in a way that is better understood, maybe, than it was in the first century. And all of humanity has that opportunity to obey or to reject. And whenever mankind rejects God's bidding, and whenever they stand before God in judgment, having rejected Him, having not obeyed the gospel, having sin in their life, God will be just in sentencing them to eternal condemnation. We learn concerning God's judgment that it will be final. There will be no second chances in heaven. Somebody says, but Kevin, if I had only known then, you know, or now what I will know then. God wants us to know now what is necessary. But not only does God want us to know it, God wants us to obey it. Why? Because in this life is the only time that we have to obey what it is that He commands of us. And if we reject Him now, God's not going to give us a chance whenever we stand before Him to say, you know, now I know you believe, and will you obey now? Why, a person would be a fool to reject then. And not only would they be a fool to reject then, they're a fool to reject now. Because God gives us that opportunity. There will also be no change of mind. Somebody might stand before God in judgment and say, you know, God, in all of that, I was really a good person. I did all kinds of good deeds. And they may have that mindset that says, you know, maybe God will just show a little more lenience with me or with my family members. Good people, whenever God has given us His standard, and His standard is to be applied across the board, there's not going to be any change of mind whenever we stand before Him in judgment. It's either now or never. Behold, today is the day of salvation. There will be absolutely no escape concerning the judgment. People may think that they're able to write God off today. In fact, we find concerning the atheists and skeptics of this world, the agnostics, is that they want to dismiss God. And good people, there's no dismissing God, no matter what you may think of Him today. There will be that day of reckoning, that day where man will stand before God, and in that day, the Bible tells us that there will be no escape concerning the judgment of God. In that day, where man is sentenced, either heaven or hell, will be final. It is the eternal reward that we are deserving of while we live here. Concerning the judgment of God, today we ask you, are you ready? God gives us a chance every day of our life to know Him. Not only to know Him, but to obey Him. And today, as we have considered the judgment of God, we know that it is coming. The question is, are you ready to stand before God in judgment? Have you confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, you're not ready. Somebody says, well, Kevin, I have been baptized, but I'm not living the life of a Christian. Then in like figure, you're not ready.